Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Thursday. It is the 23rd of June, 2011. Not going to be as hot as they originally had said, like 110, 111, but what's the difference? When it gets over, say, 105, can you really tell much of a difference? I can't. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners. We're delighted they're along at KJAA in Globe and KAPR in Douglas. So we've got you covered, Southern Arizona, from almost to Yuma, down to almost to Hermosillo, up to Phoenix, over to Silver City. I think we've got Southern Arizona covered for you. And, of course, the Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with archiving all of our previous programs. We are live from noon to 1. The lineup for today's show, we have another good lineup for you. Lots of guests. A leadoff interview with Leah Marquez-Peterson. Leah heads up the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Then we will talk with one of the two Green Party candidates for the mayor of the city of Tucson. Dave Croteau will be with us. At the bottom of the hour, writer Susan Vance will join us to talk about the incredible survival story of her mother and grandfather during the Japanese occupation of the Philippines during World War II. It's all been put in a new book called Tropic Born, War Torn. Then we will close out the show with your gardening questions. Get them ready now. Southern Arizona's most knowledgeable gardening expert, Phil Cedar, will be with us. Phil, of course, hosts a couple of gardening shows here on KVOI on the weekend. Our show is primarily interview-driven, but that means we interview a lot of people, and that means there are lots of opportunities for you, our listeners, to ask questions and to make comments to our newsmaker guests. You can join us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. If you are outside of the Tucson area, 1-866-725-7467. And let's get right into it to our leadoff interview today with Leah Marquez-Peterson. Leah is the president and heads up the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Leah, it's good to see you.
Good to see you too, Bill. Thanks for having me.
I got a compliment for you right off the top. I mean, you have raised the bar for the Tucson Hispanic Chamber. I mean, the visibility, you just had a very successful economic luncheon. I bet 350 people
yes.
turned out. I subscribe along to with the Arizona Daily Star to the Arizona Republic, and I picked up Monday's Republic. You had an op-ed piece about space and the economic impact to Tucson of this program, the Orion Project, right?
Right. And we're trying to be a voice out there. You know, it's challenging in business right now, certainly, you know, tough economic times. And there are a lot of different things that we're focusing on for our members, helping them grow their businesses. One of the other pieces I think we'll probably get into, too, is our particular focus on international, reaching out to our partners in Sonora.
Yeah, and the Hermosillo, you've opened up
right.
a satellite office.
Just
down
this
there.
Last a couple months, we announced that we opened a satellite office in conjunction with the Convention and Visitors Bureau down in Hermosillo, and that's really for matchmaking purposes. We want to connect Southern Arizona businesses with businesses in Sonora who are having a tough time themselves, either as customers or suppliers, and just really encourage business across the border.
And you do not shy away from controversial issues. Point in fact, the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce recently endorsed the proposed Rosemont Mine in the Santa Rita Mountains south of Tucson. Still very controversial. Explain that decision, Leah.
Absolutely. This was a discussion that occurred, I'd say, over 9 months. We spent the time in our public policy committee, which any of our members can participate in, talking about the pros and cons, the impact on the local community. We heard from all the various groups that supported it and did not support it, and ultimately came down to the economic impact of the mine. We brought our recommendation to the board of directors, who voted unanimously to support it. So we supported it and decided to do that in a pretty public way by sending out press releases and doing various interviews on it. So it has been controversial, but we think the mine is something that's going to occur, and that the jobs in the community will mean quite a big thing to Southern Arizona.
We're talking with the CEO and president of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Leah Marquez Peterson. If you would like to ask Leah a question, perhaps about Rosemont or anything else about the Hispanic economic buying power, 790-2040. And let's talk a little bit more about the mine. Was it the bottom line jobs? Was this the issue that turned this around for you?
You know, it was a very tough dialogue to have because certainly we've heard about environmental impact or the beautiful scenery that's down in that particular area. But I think jobs and the impact on our local community from an economic sense, yes, played a heavy role in our decision.
The economic buying power of Hispanics has really grown. It's just tremendous. I mentioned at the top the luncheon that this was actually kind of your second economic Tucson
Right.
luncheon.
It's called DATOS, or data in Spanish. We partner with the Arizona Hispanic Chamber and ASU, actually, on pulling the data together. They've been presenting it in the Phoenix area for over 20 years. And we've brought it to Tucson now for the second year, and it's incredible information on the Hispanic community and consumer trends for Tucson and Pima County. So we had a great turnout, a lot of our business and community leaders showing up for that just a couple weeks ago.
I want to share with the Buckmaster Show listeners, these highlights really are astounding. Here are a few of them. Hispanics are 30% now of the purchasing power in Pima County. The annual purchasing power of the state's nearly 2 million Hispanics is $35 billion and growing, and there are approximately 60,000 Latino-owned businesses just in Arizona alone.
Absolutely. And so often I'm asked, why is there a Hispanic Chamber of Commerce? And I think those statistics alone feed to that. And certainly you do not have to be Hispanic or speak Spanish to be part of our Chamber of Commerce. But it's really about how do you reach that demographic? This is, I think the stats also say 83% growth.
Yes.
Just in the Tucson community. So if there's a business owner or business person listening out there, what in their marketing plan encompasses reaching the Hispanic community?
Yes, between 2000 and 2010, Hispanics accounting, as you say, now for 83% of Tucson's population growth. So you have a huge and growing market there. And as far as the Hispanic language, some folks may want to market exclusively in Spanish. Correct?
Absolutely. It takes so much more than the translation, though. There's a lot of cultural nuances and aspects to consider, and we talk about that at various luncheon and events we have. Not all of the Hispanic community wants to hear their information predominantly in Spanish. A majority of it does, though. So we often talk about how diverse the Hispanic community is, whether that's in age or certainly separating Mexican nationals from Hispanic Arizonans. There are a lot of different components to it, and we talk about that in our chamber.
Does it seem that sometimes the legislature has a disconnect and not realize how important the Hispanic population is to this state?
You know, that's a loaded question.
I know. I'm putting you on the spot there.
You know, what's interesting, and we
remember, because I know you do want to continue to have good relations, and you do have
right,
good relations.
But we
with
also want to
Arizona
be a strong
lawmakers.
Voice, sure. We're often asked, are we representative of the Hispanic community in the chamber? And I think we were asked that also in the mine interview that happened in the Star. We're representative of the Hispanic business community, so that might be a little different perspective. Certainly, you see the growth. You see that encompasses 60,000 Latino-owned businesses in our state. And it's important that we have a voice also. So that's something that we need to express and communicate to all of our elected officials.
Leah Marquez Peterson is the guest, the leadoff guest today on the Buckmaster Show, and we would like to hear from you, and Leah would like to hear from you as well. If there's anything on your mind, you have a question or comment. Is healthcare reform something that's very confusing to your members?
It is. I was mentioning to you a little earlier that that's certainly top of mind for a lot of our members. One, the affordability of healthcare. Just in the last couple weeks, I've received a number of phone calls and inquiries on what does it mean? You know, 2014 is not so far away. A lot of the pieces of healthcare reform will fall into place. So we are, as a Hispanic chamber, working on some educational events, perhaps some webinars to educate our members on what does healthcare reform mean for our small business.
You want to comment at all on this op-ed piece where you were saying that was in the Arizona Republic, commit to Orion as the future of our space program. And we're talking about NASA's multi-purpose crew vehicle, Orion, which was out at the Pima Air and Space Museum for a couple of days last week.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think having an opinion and communicating on certainly the space program on federal issues such as immigration, healthcare reform, and others are pretty important for our local Chamber of Commerce. So I think it's something that it's I'm excited about having a voice and being able to send out op-eds and different opinions on various issues.
It's 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. Again, our number, 790-2040. Leah Marquez Peterson is with us. Getting back to the economic impact and your luncheon, this we talked a bit about the growing population. The Chamber, are you growing as well with that population?
We are. Very excited to say that we've doubled in size in the last year. We are close to 750 businesses now, and our goal is to hit 1,000 by the end of the year. And also just really keep our finger on the, I guess, heartbeat of the local business community, know what's going on and how we can impact and advocate on their behalf. So we are growing, and very exciting that we feel like we're one of the fastest growing organizations in our community.
How about the Mexican shoppers that come up here? Is that by now being associated with the Tucson Metropolitan Chamber's office in Hermosillo, you're going to be there with them in the same location?
Yeah, and it's actually the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau office we're connected with. But certainly how we've described it to our membership is if they are looking for connection with Mexican consumers, Vamos a Tucson, which is a program that the MTCVB runs, is excellent for that, for the tourism piece. However, if they're looking for that economic business angle, business to business, that's the partnership, the piece that we're filling. So we've got someone on staff who used to work for the Mexican consulate, used to work with a chamber in Mexico, who can help with that matchmaking and those connections.
1070, the economic effects last year, 12 months ago, that was the big story. We're talking about it. Do you think that has died down a bit?
I don't think the energy around it has died down, but I think that we came back. Now it's been a year, you're right, since SB 1070. And a lot of our Mexican partners, various chambers of commerce and cities, realize that as a Hispanic chamber, we're really pushing for a federal dialogue. We think it's dysfunctional that states are passing immigration bills state by state. The federal government really needs to act. And I've actually participated in lobbying trips to D.C. with other chambers of commerce talking about immigration and from a business perspective. So we're asking our Mexican partners to let the governments, let the governors kind of fight that battle. And on the ground, at the grassroots level, as businesses, let's connect and let's continue to do business with one another. We need to survive this economic downturn. And a few of our businesses haven't. But we think the small business community in particular needs to focus on some additional revenue streams they perhaps haven't been looking at. One of those are international sales.
Leah Marquez Peterson has been with us. And if folks would like more information about the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, how do they get that?
They can check out our website at TucsonHispanicChamber.org or just give us a call at 620-0005.
And you're on Facebook as well.
Yeah, very active. be sure to friend our Facebook fan page, Tucson Hispanic Chamber. I think we've got over 2,000 fans.
Well, we are very excited about our Facebook. We've kind of just plunged into this since June 1st on the Buckmaster Show, and I am delighted to say we're almost to 700 fans.
Congratulations.
So, thank you.
You friend my page, and I'll friend yours.
Okay. So if you would like to be a friend of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber, or if you'd like to be a friend and or of the Buckmaster Show, check it out. Leah, thanks a lot, and come back and visit us often.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot. Leah Marquez Peterson has been our guest on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up on 12:19, we will talk with one of the few remaining mayoral candidates in the upcoming Tucson election. Stay with us.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Vere Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at verejewelers.com. Vere Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub. A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Lim and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
It is 12:23 on the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, AM 1030. The Voice and the Voice Network are partners in Globe and Douglas, so we are delighted everybody is along for the ride on this very hot Thursday in June. But it is late June, so what do you expect? It's got to get really hot before the summer rains come. So let's get it over with and maybe get the rains, certainly by the 4th of July. What a week in Tucson politics. Following the week's court challenges, the race for mayor of the city of Tucson is now down from 7 candidates to 3 candidates. 2 of those 3 remaining are members of the Green Party, Dave Croteau and Mary DeCamp. The party claims 1,237 members out of nearly 482,000 registered voters in Pima County. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Dave Croteau, who ran 4 years ago against Mayor Bob Walkup. Dave, how are you?
Hi, Bill. Great.
It's good to see you. And the last time we did some kind of a political interview was over on the TV side when you and Mayor Walkup sat down for a debate. And here we are again. It could very well come down, if you get past the primary with Mary DeCamp, it could come down with you. And in this case, it would be the Democratic candidate for mayor.
Would that be a David and Goliath story if you ever heard one?
What do you make of all this? I mean, what's going on in this town? Do people not want to step up and run for office or what?
You know, I think it's bigger than just this town. I think the two-party system is broke. The largest growth in voter registration are independents. And I think because both of the major parties have failed to deliver on their core values. I think it's a great opportunity for the Greens because Greens have two really remarkable things going for us. We have no corporate funding and we have 10 key values. Unlike an independent, which is a choice, we actually have an agenda. So I think it has to do with, you know, it's a breakdown of the system.
Dave is with us, Dave Croteau, and your name is always a problem. What is the correct pronunciation from you? What is it?
Well, I'm divided with even in my family.
Okay, it even changes among the family?
My
Croteau, is
that's
that?
That's a French version of
okay.
my name.
Croteau.
And I use Croteau because I'm Native American, and my father was a Chippewa from the Turtle Mountain Indian Reservation.
Wow. Okay.
The Native Americans in Belcourt, North Dakota, where my father was from, pronounce it Croteau. But even my father, while a teacher here in Tucson for 35 years, would let both pronunciations. So you're quite accurate calling me Croteau.
It's coming up on 12:26, and we can sneak a call in for Dave if someone would like to join in the conversation about the Green Party, 790-2040. What do the Greens stand for when you define the Green Party, Dave?
Well, like I said, we have no corporate funding and we have 10 key values. And there's 80 Green parties worldwide and nations. The four pillars of our party are nonviolence, social justice, ecological vision, and future focus and sustainability. Those values are compounded by the Green Party of the United States with things like community-based economy, feminism, the values that most of us have, I think, defined Greens as practical realists.
What would the city of Tucson be if there was a Green Party or a Green at the leadership as mayor? How would things be different?
Well, the fact that future focus and sustainability means that we have to live within our carrying capacity as a community with our environment. Sustainability is defined as a way in which we live in an environment not necessarily unchanged, but with the ability to recharge for the future. So for us, it's water. The number one issue for Tucson's future is water. And because our aquifer has dropped 80 feet in the last dropped 300 feet in the last 80 years, water is the key. So our future in Tucson is developing within the carrying capacity of that water and its ability to care for the people who already live here.
Now, you have a primary with Mary DeCamp, and Mary's someone I know as well and have interviewed in the past. So what – when you get down to the Greens now fighting it out in their primary, what's the big Green issue going to be among the Greens?
Well, Mary decided to join the race because she saw that there was no women in the race. So
okay.
Clearly Mary and I differ on those two things, but not many other things.
Yeah, there's not a lot you can do about that right now, right?
Well, that's true, yeah. But part of the reasons Mary's in the race is to complement me and her with our values and show that the Greens do have a different perspective. And we know that the media doesn't cover a race until it's contested.
Right.
So even the Republicans and Democrats usually don't get media coverage until they have a primary contested or a general election contested. So because of the opportunity to run a slate, we still have an opportunity, by the way, Bill, to get three other Greens to join us in Ward 1, Ward 2, and Ward 4.
Okay. Well, one thing I'd like to do here on the Buckmaster Show, we will have you, Dave, and Mary with me on the show, and maybe we'll spend the first half hour of the Buckmaster Show just the two of you doing a debate for the Green Party.
We've already had one. We will have another one at Drinking Liberally at the Shanty on Sunday night.
Okay. And for folks that would like to go to that one, what time is that?
It starts at 6 o'clock. The speaking usually starts at 7, but it's a social gathering for the progressives in Tucson that's always lively conversations. I actually had an opportunity to discuss with Jonathan Rothschild.
Oh, really? Jonathan was there. Okay. We're going to have to run, Dave. Thank you very much, Dave. Croteau.
Yes,
Croteau. Thanks.
Yes, Bill Buckmaster.
Thank you very much. That's an easy one to pronounce. Yeah, that is. Thanks, Dave. We'll have you and Mary on together. Thanks a lot. Stay with us. We'll be back on the Buckmaster Show. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Yesterday, after announcing the withdrawal of up to 33,000 troops from Afghanistan by next summer, President Obama is meeting with soldiers just back from that country. And Afghan President Karzai says the plan to withdraw troops from his country over the next year is a good one. Baghdad has been shaken by the worst violence it has seen in months. Iraqi officials say that four bombs ripped through Shiite neighborhoods in the capital this evening. Oil prices have fallen sharply on news that the U.S. and other countries will be releasing a total of 60 million barrels of oil from emergency stocks over the next 30 days. Updating the numbers on Wall Street, the Dow is down about 117 points. NASDAQ has gone positive. It's up 4. More details at srnnews.com.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. With 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
It is 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030. If you are a World War II history buff like I am, especially the war in the Pacific, you must get a copy of a book called Tropic Born, War Torn. It's a deeply personal story of a Tucson writer who tells the story of her mother and her grandfather in the Philippines during the Japanese occupation from 1941 to 1945. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Susan Vance, who now works for the De Grazia Foundation here in Tucson and is now writing a definitive biography of the legendary artist Ted De Grazia. Susan, it's good to see you.
Good to see you too, Bill.
Tell me about how this book came about. I could not put it down. It's not a long book, but so it you can sit down and read it like I did in one sitting. It's in a very emotional book about your mom and your grandfather. Tell us a little bit about how this whole story came about.
Well, I remember quite a long time ago when I was a child, my mom, her only inspiration really to talk about the war was after a nightmare she'd had of hiding in a tunnel from Japanese troops that were retreating and from being hauled into Fort Santiago in Manila to be questioned by Japanese interrogators. Because, of course, she was Anglo and was not an American, so she was not interned. Over the years, I kept thinking, I have to get her story down. So I began quite a few years ago doing basically an oral history. And as I was recording her, she remembered about the journal my grandfather had written about managing a gold mining camp up in the northern Philippines under Japanese commanders. And I read it, and I was just amazed at what I learned about gold mining and about the occupation and so many different things. And I thought, well, I really have to get their story down. So I did. I read his journal, and it's kind of a parallel book. They both give their parallel accounts.
Tell us about your grandfather, German-born.
Right.
Yeah.
He was, like you say, born in Germany and then immigrated to the United States around the turn of the century, around 1900, which was about just after the Spanish-American War in the Philippines. And he loved it so much that he decided to stay when his service in the Army was over. So he did a few jobs. He was a civil engineer and finally wound up at what was the richest gold mine of the time in the Far East, which was called Benguet Consolidated Mining Company. And it was outside of a town called Baguio up in the mountains.
North of Manila.
North of Manila, okay. Right. It was about a six-hour drive mm-hmm. because it was so – the roads were really windy. And he stayed up there and – when the Japanese came to occupy Baguio, which was one of the first places that was actually hit by
yes,
the Japanese
bombs. Yes,
it was, because
the Japanese, when they did land in the Philippines, they did land in that direction north of Manila and worked their way down to Manila. So within a couple of days after Pearl Harbor, Baguio was definitely under siege.
Right, that's right. And, of course, then the mine, Benguet, was, I believe it was about 15 kilometers from Baguio. And Baguio, by the way, was like the summer paradise of everybody in the Far East. They would come there because the summers were so delightful and, you know, shrouded with pine trees and really gorgeous. And it was actually built by Americans. And he wound up at Benguet Consolidated Mining Company. And when all of the management decided to leave because the Japanese were coming. Mm-hmm. My grandfather decided he was going to stay there with the miners, who were basically all native Igoros from the mountains of the northern Philippines. So he decided to stay and take care of the camp.
And even though he was German-born, his loyalty definitely was to the United States, and he had tried several times to become a citizen of the United States. It's not like because he was German-born, he was sympathizing with Hitler or the Nazis.
No, not at all.
In fact, he was very much an American.
Yes.
But the Japanese, because he was German-born, did not treat him as like an American
an
who
American
was running
sympathizer,
a gold mining camp.
Right.
Did the Japanese know what they had really? I don't think they understood how rich that mining camp and
according to my grandfather's journal, they took everything else, but they never mined for the gold. They left it alone.
So he actually spent the war at the mining
camp.
He
did.
Now, your mom, that was a different story.
Right.
She grew up basically at the American school there in Baguio. But they took off, your grandmother and your mom, when the war began.
Right. They were in Manila, actually, for my mother's engagement party to
an
American.
That was an odd twist.
Yes, and it was on December 7th, 1941.
Oh,
and, of course, the Philippines is the Philippines
December
is a
7th,
day ahead.
A day ahead, so they were having the engagement party. And World War II breaks out. So your mom's fiancé goes off to fight with the American forces on the Bataan Peninsula, and she basically never sees him again.
Right. That's exactly right. She and her mom and cousins and brothers, they fled first to the jungle south of Manila and lived in little nipa shacks and survived because there's always something to eat in the Philippines. She said you could always find a mango or a papaya tree. So they actually survived by themselves with no men to protect them. All the men had left to join the forces. But, of course, my grandfather was too old at that point, so he stayed behind.
But then eventually your mom and your grandmother made it to Manila, and they were not put in the prisoner camps.
Right. They were not put in the internment camps. Because they were obviously residents of Manila. They didn't really have any papers on them. They'd fled with nothing. And so my mother was able to volunteer for the Red Cross and help take care of some women and children who were allowed to leave the internment camps because they were so crowded and live at in a
Well, it used to be a convent,
A convent, exactly, that was taken over by the Japanese but was given a place, you know, they were given a place to stay with their children. And my mother was able to help with the Red Cross taking care of them.
I have always been fascinated about this part of World War II and the courage it took for the American forces who basically fought a delaying action in the Pacific, and this went on. They retreated to the Bataan Peninsula of the Philippines, and then those that could went over to what they called the Rock Corregidor.
Right.
And I think this part of American history should be taught in every classroom because the bravery of these Americans and the Filipinos who fought with them, it's just really amazing the odds they were up against, and it's amazing that they were able to hang on for about 4 months in the Philippines before surrendering.
That's right. That's exactly what happened. And then, of course, towards the end of the war, when the American planes came back to retake the Philippines, my mom and her mother and brothers fled to the mountains north of Baguio. And they were taken care of by the native Igoros. They were in hiding for about 3 months because of the American bombs
that
were falling.
Some very close calls,
Very close calls.
And as far as your grandfather, it was not an easy life for him during World War II. In fact, the American bombers, I don't think they really understood what they were bombing, but they were bombing Baguio toward the end there and the gold mine.
And
I think destroyed the gold mine.
Absolutely. Yeah. It went up in flames. And my grandfather was the bombing took over, you know, several months. And my grandfather and the other people who were still in the mine were hiding in tunnels and, in mining tunnels, you know, to get away from the bombs. And fortunately, as he tells it, the bombing raids were only during the day. So they would spend the nights a little bit outside, but during the day they were inside these rat-infested tunnels and had to forage for food.
Well, I highly recommend this book. The title of the book is Tropic Born, Tropic like the tropics, Tropic Born, War Torn, The Untold Tales of World War II in the Philippines, compiled and edited by Susan Vance. We'll have you back sometime to talk about the work you're doing about Ted DeGrazia.
Well,
that would be
you,
interesting,
Bill.
Too. Where can folks get a hold of this book, Susan?
They can – in Tucson, it's available at Antigone Books or online at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and InkwaterPress.com.
Any desire to go to the Philippines?
I do have a desire to go.
I bet you do.
I hope to make it there someday.
I've been talking with Susan Vance. Tropic Born, War Torn is the book. Again, highly recommended by the Buckmaster Show. Good to see you, Susan.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, we've got your gardening questions coming up next with Phil Cedar, 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise.
East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service, with 30 projects under construction, including Tankerville Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
$12:49, this is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster. Summer, of course, is officially here, but summer-like temperatures and summer-like weather have been with us for months now. We're certainly in the midst, though, of the hottest time of the year as we all anxiously await the summer rains. The hot weather is hard not only on us, but the plants in our backyard as well. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is the most knowledgeable person I know on the subject of plants and all green things, Phil Cedar. Phil is the host of his own garden show sponsored by the Green Things Nursery, where you can find Phil most days. His popular show here on KVOI is Saturday morning, 7 to 8 a.m., and Sunday afternoon, 3 to 4 p.m. Phil, how are you?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well, and you know what I want to talk about. In fact, you even mentioned it on your show over the weekend. You knew I'd want to talk about plants.
I knew you'd call me about plants, right?
What can
and
we...
And the hot sun out here, too.
Oh, man. You know, I took your advice. I've been, of course, watering my my plants every day, and I took your advice, something I heard on the show this weekend about... When the plants are in pots out in the back patio or wherever, water down the planter as well.
Sure, you know these pots are 40 degrees hotter than the temperature of the air. On a 105 degree nice little afternoon, your plants are 145 degrees, and the ones in the ground are just about 80 degrees, 85 degrees. They're so much happier. And so if you go out there with your hose, just give that pot a good drenching. You know, you wouldn't think about taking hard-boiled eggs and stick them under the sink and put a little drip in there. You'd splash cold water all over them to get them cooled down.
Phil Cedar is with us. If you have a question, a gardening question for Phil, 790-2040, 790-2040. Phil, what are the things we should remember as we wait for the summer rains?
Well, right now, if you have any trees that have not been pruned, it's a good idea to get some of those trees thinned out. So the winds, when they come through, we'll get 80-mile-an-hour winds in here. And you've seen what happens every year. Some big Palaverdes, mesquites, and acacias get pulled out of the ground just like they were umbrellas. And thinning out some of these branches will help that happen, you know, not happen.
You know, the plants, really, it is hard on them right now. How much watering should they be getting right now?
Well, the bigger the leaf, the more water they have to have. If they're in a pot, you should be watering every single thing every day. Any small flowers, annuals, small perennials, they should be watered every day, even in the ground. The rest of these plants, a couple of times a week if they're already established. But if you got plants, you just bought a new tree or a new shrub, they need to get water every day because this dry wind is actually doing a whole lot more damage than the heat is. We have had almost unrelenting wind here in 3 months.
You know, Phil, I know you've lived in Tucson forever, it seems like, and have you ever seen a drier, windier spring, really a year that we have had here?
Yeah, I don't remember it staying this windy this late in the year, but everything is kind of out of kilter this year because of we got the extra cold. We're in a La Nina year, which is generally a little warmer winter and mild, but very dry, and probably if you get the figures, we probably had an average warmer winter. We had about 4 or 5 days in the winter that threw things off in really bad shape for plants and people even. But I don't think that they really changed the average that much. But it is extremely dry. I mean, there's a lot of people around Tucson that cannot remember what rain looks like.
I know. Rufus is on the Buckmaster Show live line for Phil Cedar, and Rufus has a question about, I guess he just trimmed some of the mesquite. Go ahead, Rufus.
Hi, Mr. Cedar. I just trimmed the mesquite tree now. Am I supposed to put, do they sell like a paste or something to put on the bare part that is just cut to protect it from insects?
They've got pruning paints, and I don't know that hardly anybody uses them anymore, but if it makes you feel a little better, you can buy them at Ace Hardware or the home improvement stores. And it wouldn't hurt, you know, but people just don't use it the way they once did.
Well, because, you know, you see that black sap coming out of the mesquite tree sometimes. I want to know if that will prevent that.
That'll prevent it, and mesquites are good for running sap this time of year. In fact, some people have had it just keep running where they've seen people wrap burlap around the broken ends to keep it from dripping on the concrete.
Okay, thank you, Rufus. Phil, we had a question from someone, and they did not want to go on the air, but here's the question. It is about a little bit of a pack rat problem, and this person did not want to remove the pack rats, they did not want to kill the pack rat, so they put out mothballs, the scent. Does that drive away the pack rats?
Well, mothballs are made of paradichlorobenzene. And they generally make things stay away, even dogs and cats. In fact, you can go into a pet shop and buy a chemical called Repel, and it's in a granular form, and you can make a line around things, and most animals stay away. But here's our problem. We have no rain, and we've had no weeds growing, and what these plant animals are doing is they metabolize all their water from what they eat, and they're going to come after the plants you bought because none of the plants that normally would grow in the desert this time of year are going to be growing right now. Now, once the rains come, we're going to have our annual summer weeds come up real quick, and then you won't see as much of a problem. One thing you can do, though, is you can put small pans of water for these animals to get water. Make sure you put some gravel in the bottom so they don't drown and, you know, slip and slide at the bottom of the pan. But if they can find pure water, they will always take it first.
Good advice.
It will not attract more animals than the animals are already there. You just want to divert them from the plants.
Well, we saw a bobcat the other day by the front door, and the bobcat was looking for water, for the water that we put out for the birds. But that was really, I think all the animals obviously are suffering this time of year, aren't they?
They are. This is as bad as it gets. Normally we have weeds throughout the year, and the small animals eat the weeds, metabolize the water there. And then when the bobcat eats a little ground squirrel, it's probably close to 90% water. He gets his water there, too. But if they can find physical water, they always take it first. So if you leave some little pans out there, it's not going to attract more wildlife to your house. They're already out there. It'll provide them some to eat, and they may leave your plants alone.
Phil Cedar is with us from Green Things, and Phil is answering our gardening questions on the Buckmaster Show, where it is 12:56. And we're going to have a question here very shortly for you, Phil. It looks like we have Rick on the line. Rick is curious about tomato plants. Go ahead, Rick. You're with Phil Cedar.
Yeah, hi. I've got tomato plants. They're doing really well, lots of tomatoes, but the tomatoes are getting like a scaling on the bottom of the tomato.
It's called blossom end rot. It's not considered a disease. It's an ailment. Sometimes people have put a little Tums in the hole before they put their tomato in, and extra calcium will go up in there and prevent that. Now, I haven't seen that much this year. There's nothing else you can do to prevent it. I mean, there's some little chemicals out, but most of the people in this business don't believe they work real well.
Okay, so and the rose bushes, why are my rose bushes just looking awful? I guess they're just trying
to
hang in there.
Yeah, they don't like it above 95 degrees, and guess what? We aren't going down for a while.
Should I?
just leave them alone during the summer. Water them real well. Cut them back a little bit. Do it again in late August, and by the end of September, early October, you should have roses galore.
Should I put them on a plane to Portland, Oregon, where they're having the Rose Festival?
They have a big festival this month up there, and it's the City of Roses. So if you really want roses, hop on up there. It's got to be 25 degrees cooler up there, too, right now.
790-2040. Phil Cedar is with us. We could probably squeeze in one more call, a gardening call for Phil, 790-2040. And Phil, I want to tell you that we are delighted here on the Buckmaster Show to have you on. And we're just delighted to be over here where you have been for a while. And I know you talk about the reach of this station. Last week, we had a caller from downtown Phoenix.
Well, I get callers from Western New Mexico sometimes. It's really nice to hear people from you know, far away. I'm sure glad you came over to KVOI. It's a nice bunch of people to work with.
They really are. What about fertilizing? Should we worry about that now or just wait for the rains?
If you didn't fertilize it on Memorial Day, fertilize about half as much now, then fertilize again on Labor Day.
I have good news. I had my first hibiscus flower came up. This is one of my hibiscus that did survive that horrible cold, of course. The only reason it survived is we brought it in the garage. Let's see if we can work in Craig here. Go ahead, Craig.
Quick question on pocket gophers. How do we deal with pocket gophers?
Pocket gophers, quick.
You don't see them very much. Most of the time, you have to either accept the fact that they're going to be killed if you're going to do it right. They can be trapped and taken somewhere else, but they generally people put poisons out for them, and that's about it. They eat the roots of plants and cause a lot of problems. They're not real common, but if you get one that's, you know, in your yard and he's having or she's having babies and she has relatives that come over and visit.
Got to go, Phil.
Okay, hey.
Thank
you. See you guys later.
Okay, Phil Cedar, thanks a lot. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger and Associates. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow on the Friday Roundtable.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe. The